This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My beloved brothers and sisters, difficulty and hardship comes in the life of every one of us. When Allah created us, He created us for a purpose, and that is to worship Him. And we usually say that Allah created us to test us. Allah created us to worship Him. And part of it is that we be tested. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says, I have not created mankind or jinnkind except that they worship me. You and I know that worship here does not refer to only the compulsory acts of worship, but rather it refers to living your life within the obedience of Allah. But if you live your life within the obedience of Allah, does it mean that you're going to have everything the way you want it? People say, I'm a good Muslim or a Muslimah. I pray 5 times a day. I don't do haram. I try to stay away from what will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I give my zakah, my charities, I'm kind, I don't hurt and harm people. I have been for Hajj, I fast in the month of Ramadan, and so on. Why is it that in my life I have a difficulty in my home, my children are like this, my husband, or I cannot get a husband or a wife, or I have a problem with my work, I don't have sustenance, I have lost my job, I have a health matter and a problem here and there? Those are questions we usually hear people ask. Am I right or wrong? I'm a good person. Why is Allah doing this? And then when I look out and I see those who disbelieve or who transgress, they tend to have a more superior life of this world, a worldly life. You see people who are happy, they go on holiday, they have lovely families, they have a good car, they have a beautiful house or home, they have good health, they have good looks, they have a lot more. And you know what? Subhanallah, people are deceived by shaitan to believe that that is a sign of the pleasure of Allah, and this here is a sign of the displeasure of Allah, whereas it is the opposite. Allah says clearly, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ When you see those who don't believe, and they have so much in this world, and they have successes on earth, don't let that deceive you for a moment. It is a provision for a short time. Thereafter, there will be nothing. But with us, you want to know if Allah loves you or not. Every day I get questions now from people asking me that, you know, why is it that I'm suffering? I'm trying. I'm calling out to Allah. Why is Allah not answering? A true believer will never ask the question, because before they ask, they already know Allah has heard my question. He knows it better than I can articulate it. He knows it better than I can word it. Allah already knows what you wanted to ask. He has heard you as soon as you open your mouth. And even if you don't, Allah knows what's inside what you want to ask. The other day in Salatul Witr here, the Imam was saying, Oh Allah, it's a dua he was making. Oh Allah, you know all our hawa'ij. You know all our needs uniquely. So fulfill them for us. Beautiful dua. I'm standing there saying, Ameen. What does that mean? Oh Allah, you know what I want, right? Grant it to me. Allah says, the mere fact that you asked me already, you believe in me, you have worshipped me, and you are attaining a rank. And I may give you, I may not give you, based on many, many, many factors. Sometimes Allah knows it's bad for you. Sometimes Allah knows that He wants to keep you in a condition that you are in because you are in a good condition. How many of us, when we are unwell, we say, Oh Allah, grant me cure. Oh Allah, grant me cure. And then you go for the medication and you use this and you use that, and you are just not getting better. And then you find You go to another level, you start getting up for Salat al-Tahajjud. Then you give some charities to the poor. Then you soften your heart. Then you change your life. All that was as a result of a sickness that you were not cured from. Had you been cured instantly, oh Allah, grant me cure. MashaAllah, you got the cure. You're back to your ways and habits. It happens sometimes, right? So out of the mercy of Allah, Allah decided to keep you in a specific condition. Thank Him for that. Get to a level where you thank Allah for everything. We have hardship because we were brought onto this earth to be able to stand up and face the hardship. If Allah wanted, we wouldn't even need the toilet. We wouldn't even need to eat or drink. We wouldn't have a cavity here known as the belly. Subhanallah. Brothers are telling me, you know, first time I'm seeing you without your big cloak, you look very slim. I said, what, was I supposed to look anything else? May Allah forgive us. You don't know the belly is also as huge as the others, but it's just when we sit to eat, you might realize, mashallah, 90 liter tank, alhamdulillah. May Allah grant us goodness. May Allah fulfill all our needs. But Allah has kept these needs in order to keep us going. If you are a human being who's just born and you are, as you grow, you decide I'm not going to do anything at all, you will lose. In order to survive for the next 24 hours, you need to get yourself to some food and drink. Why? It's Allah's plan. He wants you to do something. He wants you to work hard. So you should do your prayer, your worship, and also your survival. All of that is from Allah. He's part of your test. When Allah says, I have created you to worship me, it's part of the instruction of Allah. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ. You are earning that which is halal. It's also a duty unto you. And at the same time, it's rewarding. When you go out and earn halal, it's a very great reward. I'm doing business from home. Or I'm going out to do business to earn in order to be able to get halal so I can give zakah. I can give alms to the poor, charity to the poor, and I can feed myself and perhaps some of my family members. That is an ibadah. So when Allah says liya'budun, yes, it includes that which was compulsory in terms of farad, but beyond that, it goes to everything else within the obedience of Allah. Don't ever think you will not suffer or go through challenges, difficulties, hardship, and what you might term negativity on earth. It's all part of the package that you have come with on earth, and you will complete it and return back to Allah. On that day, they will all say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You'll return to Allah. What did you do? What did those before you do? They all did the same. They toiled on earth. They struggled on earth. They spent time here. And what they did was, they had to earn a livelihood, take care of their families, and at the same time worship Allah, face challenges, face accusations, face people who wanted to see their downfall, enemies, rumors, backbiting, good days, bad days, go through divorce, go through hardship, go through, you know, bringing up children without a parent, for example, or go through a lot, loss in terms of business, your factory burnt down, something happened, you lost whatever, you went through an accident, you lost limbs, you lost your health. Allah says, you know what, it's all part of your package. You came with a package, that is your package. Those who can thank me for that, they will earn Jannah. أَيْنَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَحْمَدُونَ اللَّهَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. It is reported that on the day of judgment, prior to all this accounting, a caller will call out, where are those who used to thank Allah upon all conditions? No matter what happened to them, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. They used to thank Allah upon all conditions. Where are they? Do you know why they will be called out? Because Allah wants to grant them paradise before everything else. You used to thank Allah for everything. They will be called out. They will come. And they will be taken across. What a good news. For those who thank Allah upon all conditions, and they themselves are believers, and they themselves are doing good deeds. When the Prophet ﷺ was faced with challenge upon challenge upon challenge, isn't that a sign to us, to show us that when Allah loves you, He will test you more? Because He loved the Prophet ﷺ the most, He had the most tests. But we give up very quickly, give up very fast. Sometimes Allah does not want you to be married in your life. Maybe, perhaps, maybe it's not in your taqdeer. Maybe that was better for you, because maybe He knows something you don't know. Maybe He knows you might get a spouse who's going to cause mental stress and depression for you. So Allah says, I will protect your mind, your sanity, everything. Just worship me. Trust me, what I did for you is right. Just say Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, I want. But you know, whatever you want will happen. Subhanallah. We want children sometimes. Allah doesn't give us. I remember a brother, he told me to use his example, so I'm going to use it. He was crying and trying for children for a long, long time. And may Allah bless those who don't have children with children. Even Allah might bless you after 8 years, 10 years. But remember, when the time is right, it will come. And if the time is not right, it will not come. And if Allah did not give you, don't be upset. Allah has saved you from something. The brother tells me, later on, I had a child. First one had a genetic disease. Second one had a genetic disease. Then I told Allah, I don't want kids. Subhanallah, you called out to Allah for how many years? More than a decade. Oh Allah, give me children. Allah says, I haven't. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya, he says in al-Fawaid, you know, one of the diseases man has is he is in a ni'mah of Allah, but he asks Allah to take him out of that ni'mah into something he thinks is a ni'mah, but it's not a ni'mah. And he keeps on calling out, Allah, I want that thing. I want that thing. Allah says, wait. I want that thing, I want that. And he keeps on going. Then out of the mercy of Allah, وَرَبُّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ لَا يُخْرِجُهُ مِنْ تِلْكَ النِّعْمَةِ. Out of the mercy of Allah, he doesn't take him out of the ni'mah. And this man continues and continues. And at a time, through Allah's mercy, he says, okay, let me give it to him. As soon as he gets it, he regrets it. And he says, oh, I wish I was back into where I was first, because where I was better than where I am. But you were the one who was asking Allah for this all along. Subhanallah. Same applies to marriages. It happens a lot, because you know what? Sometimes you really want to get married to someone. You are praying, and it just doesn't happen. And then one day after long, when it does happen, as soon as you marry, you just regret it. I didn't realize this is what it was. Subhanallah. You know, on a lighter note, there is a joke. They speak about marriages. They say a marriage is like getting into a hot bath or a hot shower. Once you're in, you realize it's no longer that hot. Do you understand what I just said? When it's initially, it's very hot, right? You feel like, oh, there's a hot shower, right? Once you get into this, the shower, and a little bit used to it, you realize, it's not that hot anymore. Astaghfirullah. If that is the case, we've lost the plot. We are supposed to be marrying following the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, and wherever Allah has facilitated it, sometimes when we are too fussy, we end up remaining single. I'm sorry to say what I just said. Sometimes when we are too fussy, we end up remaining single. Because why? Nothing is good enough. You have to compromise. You have to. I'm not saying just marry the next person. No. Someone has deen, akhlaq. They are reasonably okay. Alhamdulillah, I'm trying and I've seen so far. This is the best. I don't think we're going to get beyond 80%. Let's say Bismillah and we go for it. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Why not? Allah will open your doors. Nobody has 100%. But we have. Alhamdulillah. So the point being raised here is thank Allah upon all conditions. You have children, thank Allah. You have only males, thank Allah. You have only females, thank Allah. Something went wrong in your life, thank Allah. Thank Allah, it could have been worse. You lost a job, thank Allah to start with before you go and look for other jobs. Alhamdulillah, there must be something good in this. I missed a flight once. I just had to thank Allah. I was smiling. They thought I was mentally disturbed. Seriously. Because I was just saying, okay, that's it. Wow. What can I say? Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah Almighty. They think you are not okay. But you know there is something, a relationship between you and Allah that nobody may understand unless they believe. Alhamdulillah. You broke a leg. You need to thank Allah. Alhamdulillah. Because why? I could have been broken both. I just broke one. But it requires a person connected to Allah to say that and to do that. So I am here today at this Iman boost to try and tell you, my beloved brothers and sisters, take the challenges in your stride. Allah has designed them for you. Whatever comes in your direction was designed by Allah for you. Take it in your stride. Get up to it. Thank Allah. Get closer to Allah. Keep on calling out to Allah. Even if nothing happens right up to the end, you gained because your relationship with Allah was improved. Like I said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا إِبْتَلَاهُ. When Allah loves a slave, He tests him. Tests him with different types of tests. The prophets of Allah had the greatest tests. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had probably the greatest test. None of us have been through what he's been through. Look at the children he's lost, the wives he's lost. Look at the parents, that how he had been born, his father had predeceased his birth, and then his mother died young age. Then when his grandfather decided to look after him, the grandfather also went, and after that the uncle, and so on, and how they accused him and how they labeled him and how they, yet he was the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that's what he went through, you and I will go through rumor. They spread rumor about you, have they? If they haven't, you're not lucky enough. Someone has to have said something about you that's not true. That, and just for you to be given the opportunity to deal with it in a correct way or in a wrong way. Deal with it and just say, Alhamdulillah, Mashallah. You know, the other day someone sent me a message with a great accusation. And they told me something about myself. You won't believe what I did. I didn't know what to say. I said Alhamdulillah to myself, but I said, should I reply? Shouldn't I reply? And you know, sometimes we get a little bit upset in the sense that I want to tell him, hey, look, keep quiet. What you are telling me does not bother me. Just leave it. But because this person was being very hurtful, I decided to do something that would also hurt, which I don't know right or wrong. Maybe you can think about it when I tell you. I Googled a link, how to fly a kite. And I found a YouTube link and I just clicked on it, copied it, pasted it, posted it to this person. How to fly a what? A kite. What does that mean? I told him, just go to hell. Don't think you are going to bother me. Learn to fly a kite and fly it. Khalas. I don't even need to say anything to you. Fly a kite. And wallahi, that's the attitude. You know your link with Allah. You know when someone is wrong, they will correct. When you are wrong, they will correct you in a good way. Subhanallah. But you also know that there are people who will insult, accuse, abuse, try to assassinate character. Just leave it. We are living in an age of social media. Social media is to be taken not with a pinch of salt, with a bag of salt. Subhanallah. A whole bag, a spoon every day. Subhanallah, of salt. That's social media. You can't take it seriously. The stupid have been given a voice through social media. You must remember that. The people who have no intellect, the IQ is minus 10. They are there on Twitter. Subhanallah. They are there everywhere to say the worst things. If you are walking, they will say the worst things about you. But that's Allah is using them for destructive things because they have not been chosen by Allah to do constructive things. So thank Allah. You know, someone wrote a book about me recently. A whole book, 260 pages. And they wrote all sorts of things. What? Immediately I said, I thank Allah. Do you know why? Because Alhamdulillah, Allah has actually rejected them by making them occupied in someone. While we thank Allah and we want Allah to continue to occupy us in that which is constructive. I'm not going to be diverted to respond to such, you know, to such work. Because the minute I turn to respond, there are two things, and this is how I look at it. When I defend myself, and I have the right to defend myself, I'm doing it for my sake. But when I continue working in the field, I'm still doing it for the sake of Allah, inshallah. I'd rather leave this one. Let them think bad. Never mind. No problem. It's okay. Let me pretend like I didn't even see this. It's fine. And on this hand, keep on doing your work. Because you know what? I have a limited amount of time on earth. I need to pack away as many bricks as I can for my building in Jannatul Firdaus. Each day put in 20, 50, 100, 200 bricks. Keep on piling. But the minute you look at the other person's building or you want to respond to someone telling you that your building, there is something wrong with it, you stop building. That's the minimum loss you are going to suffer. And you are now concentrating somewhere else. So just boost your iman and just say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We thank Allah upon all conditions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So I want to end the same way I started by saying, my beloved brothers, my sisters, difficulty and hardship will come to all of you because it is designed by Allah for you. So thank Allah for the difficulty that came in your life. It is your opportunity to earn Jannatul Firdaus. You know, when you go to school, what do you want? For me, this is the best example. For me, when you go to school, what do you want? You will go, you will work hard, you will study, and you will write examinations every week, then every month and every term, and then every year and every few years. And as you go further and further, does it become easier or more difficult? Please answer me. Becomes more difficult. Because why? You are learning different concepts. 1 plus 1 is very different from 2,526 multiplied by 4,299. I'm sure I'll have someone answering me just now here. It's much more, because you know what? It requires more time. But what are you doing? You are happy. You are smiling. Because you sat with the sum for 5 whole minutes and you worked it out and you got a tick next to it with red ink and someone wrote VG, which means very good. And you were so excited and you worked hard. You didn't say, it's so difficult. These exams, I don't want to write them. You took the challenge and you answered it to the best of your ability. You did well and you got a graduation. End of the few years, you got primary graduation, secondary graduation, university graduation, whatever else. Then there comes a time when you have to sweat writing a thesis. And then you get your PhD one day. It was not a joke. It was very difficult. But when you got it now, mashallah, you are graduated. You were prepared to work so hard just to get a graduation of the dunya. What about the graduation of the akhirah? Allah says, I throw you one difficulty. Okay, now you're going to get sick. Now you'll go through divorce. Now you'll have a child or you won't. Or now you'll only have boys. Now you'll only... So what? These are exams. I need to just say, Alhamdulillah. Allah says, okay, it's a very, very cold morning and there is no electricity and there's hardly any water. You need to get up for Salatul Fajr. As-salatu khayrun minan nawm. Whoa, mashallah. That's your test. What are you going to do? I'm just going to get up and say, cold water, freezing water, ice water, no electricity, no nothing. Allah comes first. Subhanallah, if that's the case, you have succeeded. That 1 plus 1 equals 2. You got the answer right. Red tick, VG. Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. We are happy. We are excited. Boy, it was challenging, but I did it. No complaint. Let me go. Let me fulfill my role that Allah has asked me to fulfill. Because if not, we will die a depressed life. You will not be content. So, what is the last meaning? What is a sign within you that you are heading in the right direction? I can tell you one thing quickly. You will be content even without anything. You will be content even if you are on your deathbed. You will be content, meaning Allah will give you a calmness. He will give you a reassurance. Yes, we all want the forgiveness of Allah. We ask Allah's forgiveness and we hope in Allah. But that hope will be the overpowering factor. It will be overpowering. I tried hard. People laughed at me. They laughed at the Prophet. Anytime they do negatives to you, ask yourself, did they not do this to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They accused him of everything in detail. They said everything. And yet, they used to call him As-Sadiq al-Amin at one stage. When he married a woman much older, they had something to say. When he married whoever else, they had something to say. No matter what he did, they had something to say. Nowadays, we are living in an era where no matter what we do, people will have something to say. They have something to say. Don't worry, for as long as you have that link with Allah, wallahi, we will be heading in the right direction. May Allah grant us Jannah. May Allah open our doors. May Allah help us go through our difficulties and hardships. May Allah restore for us our income. May Allah restore for us our health. May Allah restore for us all the goodness that we were in and even beyond. May Allah make us steadfast with fulfilling the duty unto Him. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.